following audio is from Covenant Life Fellowship. For more information about our church and to stay up to date on all sermons, events, and news, please visit our website at www.clfroseburg.com.
Good evening, everyone. So good to see you. My goodness, what a treat. As Jill said, the last time we were together was in February, and little did we know what we were about to face, right? So here we sit with a heart full of thanksgiving and grateful that we just get to be here. We plan these topics way in advance. So October or November at our Elders and Wives retreat, us Elders Wives sit and we talk about what do we think the Lord might be wanting to share with our ladies and how should we present that? So I've had over a year almost to think about this. But I tell you, if I had sat down and thought, what should I share with all you all? In January, it would have looked very different than what I have to share tonight, because Jill is exactly correct. I am a work in progress. I don't stand before you tonight going, my heart of gratitude is always present. I come by disciplining my mind easily. No, I don't. I work hard. We work hard at it, don't we, ladies? So the topic in and of itself, disciplining the mind with a heart of gratitude, is huge, right? We could take it into two and go, disciplining the mind is ginormous. Let's just camp here for days. We could talk about a heart of gratitude, and that would take us a really long time too. But we've put the two together. I'm not exactly sure why we decided to do that. Maybe it was the fall theme and we need to be thankful, and we should be. There's many things to be thankful for. But the topic tonight is just disciplining the mind with a heart of gratitude. And so I want to start with a portion of scripture that has become very special to me. And I'm going to read it to you, if you wouldn't mind standing as we read God's Word, that, and then we'll go from there. It's Philippians 4, 6 through 9. And we're going to start off with a bang here. Be anxious for nothing. Well, how are we doing? I'm doing all right. How are you doing? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, is worthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, says Paul, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your written word. Even as we read it, we sense your presence with us, and we thank you. Lord, I pray that it would be the power of your word that would speak to our hearts. Lord, as your humble servant, I do stand before you asking that you would help me to speak clearly the truth, that these ladies, that we would all be encouraged, and the Lord, most of all, you would be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. With the topic tonight, there is one, as we move a little bit further along, there is one component that I want to introduce. But to start with, I want to talk about, I guess me. I'm kind of a half glass, half full kind of girl. Look on the brighter side. So when it comes to disciplining my mind, I don't initially struggle. I kind of go, it'll be okay. I'm hopeful. But naturally being that way doesn't mean that when challenges come in, that might be godly or come from the Lord. So I have developed a pattern as I examined my thought processes that on a daily basis, disciplining my mind looks like this. First, here comes the incoming thought or the situation, right? Here it comes. Next is I evaluate it. Is it biblical? Is it true? If not, then I speak truth to it. Now, those three things right there do not happen in a nanosecond. Sometimes the incoming thought or situation goes over and over, and you have to keep addressing it, keep thinking about it. It doesn't just leave like that, right? So incoming thought or situation, evaluate it. Is it biblical? Is it true? If not, speak truth to it. Where does our truth that we speak to it come from? Come on, give it to me. His word, it does. Comes from right here. We cannot be grab ourselves by the bootstraps kind of girls and we got this and down from the spiral or talk ourselves down from the tree we've emotionally climbed into. We can't do that over and over and over again. We might be successful once or twice, but this is the only thing that we can speak truth from to our hearts, to our minds, that makes the difference. With a grateful heart, we thank the Lord. And there's a number of things we can thank the Lord for, because you know what? It all starts in the heart. His word we've hidden in our heart so we might not sin against him. His word is planted here, so then what happens up here gets adjusted by what his word says. So the things that we can be thankful for are who he is. Contemplating the attributes of God is an incredible study, is it not? His goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his love. All of the things that he is what we think on and we're grateful for. We can also thank him for exposing the sin that revealed itself in our thoughts. That fast, the Holy Spirit can convict us that the thoughts that just came across our mind were wrong, and we can repent of them. So we're grateful that he exposed them to us. Thirdly, we can get clarity and wisdom in uncertainty. So we thank him that he's brought that. We ask for wisdom and he brings it. Also comes from the word. And then we thank him for bringing peace in a troubled mind and a weary heart. We have those, don't we? And as our thoughts get swirling and we identify that the situation or the incoming thought and we evaluate it and we speak truth to it, can wear us out. And we have peace and rest to our weary minds and our hearts. And that cycle repeats itself over and over and over again, daily, hourly, moment by moment. I don't know about you, but there are days when it's going all the time. And that's what discipline is all about, right? That's what we train our hearts, we train our minds, we're in God's word, Christ-centered, focusing on him. We're diligently pursuing having the mind of Christ. So I'm going to read a scripture so that it's not just my opinion. It's not just me to hear it from the word of God, because that's what's going to touch our hearts. 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." He's given us the mind of Christ. So we diligently pursue that. Other things we do is we get into the word, scripture memory. And can I suggest that we not do this alone? Our private, personal, quiet time is wonderful, and we need it. But ladies, we need fellowship. We need to encourage one another in the word. We need to challenge each other in the word. So as we get in the word and we commit to scripture, it's also the Lord that gives us the scriptures that come to mind. But we've got to know them and we've got to be in here for them to come to mind. The Holy Spirit will bring them to our mind when we're spending the time there. And I know many of you are very aware that scripture, and I'll share a little bit later on how scripture memory as a child impacted me. But it's really important that we spend the time in God's word, memorizing his word so that it's what comes to mind. When it's time to speak truth, that's what we're speaking. So once again, we're diligently pursuing the mind of Christ. We're in the word, commit scripture to memory, and we listen to excellent teaching. And ladies, we are served very beautifully from this pulpit right here, aren't we? We are incredibly blessed. And I, all of you, the series that our leaders took us through in Psalms, incredible. And the last two Sundays, our Pastor York has served us so beautifully in training our mind and what to do with worry and hope. Those last two messages, I chatted with him briefly and I said, you know, everything that you've brought, I feel like what I'm marinating in for what I want to talk to the ladies about sounds like the little sister to those messages. And he was so encouraging and he just like, nope, big sister. And he brought truth to us and taught us well. We are very blessed at CLF to have theologically sound teaching. And I encourage you to continue to listen to those messages if you missed them over the summer. So with all of that, once again, we hit repeat over and over and over again. And we're disciplining our mind with a heart of gratitude each and every day. And it's a pattern that hopefully is becoming second nature to us. The more we do it, the better we get at it. We're training in righteousness. And formation of our mind. So the way that we naturally want to think goes away. And the way God's scripture speaks to our heart is what comes to mind. In Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." So we're in the word, we're in community, we're in fellowship, we're being taught solid theology, and we're enjoying the sweet season of what, in talking with a dear friend of mine, I spoke to shallow waters. We're in a season of, you almost feel like it's when peace like a river attendeth my ways. It's the mundane. It's life is happening. It's good. But the other concept that I want to introduce is where he has me right now. And I know that he has many of you right now. Our dear Linda is at home for life. And what do we do when he introduces suffering into the equation? What do we do with that? I want you to hold the question. It's not rhetorical, but hold it for just 1 second. Because I want to read to you a definition by Elizabeth Elliot, a sweet sister in the Lord who has gone on before us. She defines suffering. Suffering is having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. That simple. Like, okay. So I don't think there's anybody in the room here that would be able to say, I'm not suffering in some degree. But what suffering is not is comparing where we're at in suffering. I cannot compare mine to yours. And it was a time when I did. And the Lord made it very clear to me that he was not going to be able to teach me what he wanted me to learn in my suffering if I was going to ignore it or act like it wasn't as bad as someone else's and let him do the work that he needed to do. I had to recognize that my suffering, we have to recognize that our suffering is what he has for us. It's what he's chosen. So whatever it is, he has designed it. Whatever he gives, whatever he takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord for the suffering he has brought. He introduces suffering into the equation. When cancer diagnosis comes with an uncertain prognosis, when we're caring for family members, loved ones in their final days, and we watch them pass from this life, when our own community fire destroys everything, and we haven't really mentioned COVID and the unrest in our culture, but we have chronic illness, we have unmet expectations, we have broken relationships. When suffering enters the equation, might I suggest that we stay the course? We don't change what we do at all. Our circumstances have changed, and it now becomes a journey. And I have a journey that the Lord chose to take me on, suffering into my life in a different, in a way I didn't see coming. On March 26th, I was sitting in the office with him, and I went deaf in this ear. It plugged. My hearing went away. And I went, well, that's weird. I can't hear. I guess I'll let it go for a couple days. It'll come back. Sorry. I shouldn't talk with my hand so much. But it didn't. So through a series of, it's COVID, so it was telemed appointments. Didn't go away, didn't go away. They finally agreed to see me at urgent care. Didn't go away. Let's go on, let's get on some antibiotics. Didn't go away. And, well, my hearing was still gone. They called it infections, all kinds of things, but my hearing was still gone. And so the night before my appointment with my ENT, I told David, my husband, I said, boy, am I glad I'm seeing the doctor tomorrow, because I don't think I could live with this for the rest of my life. Wow. Okay. So fast forward a day and go into the ENT, and I'm sitting there. And he says, well, good news, Tammy. You don't have an infection in your ear. It looks clear. And that fast, I'm thinking, if that's the good news, what's the bad news? I don't really, okay, so just get whatever's in there out. Just take it out so I can hear. He says, the bad news is that you will be deaf in that ear for the rest of your life. And I stand here sharing that with you, completely composed. But in that moment, I am literally talking myself down from melting in front of this young doctor with, this can't be. No, how did this happen? And I think he could see the panic on my face because he says, but you're going to be okay. And I'm like, okay. And he starts to talk to me about, you know, the procedure that if he had seen me 2 weeks ago, he might have been able to restore it. That's helpful. But he's going to try. And I'm like, okay. So series of steroids, shots in my ear, different things that he's going to do. And at that moment, the challenge became real. Disciplining my mind with a heart of gratitude took on a whole different nature for me. I intellectually understood what disciplining my mind meant, but he began to take me to a place that experientially he was going to meet me in. That of the way he met me in my grief, in my hope. He exposed a number of things in my heart for sure. But in that moment, I didn't get it all right. But boy, my God did. He knew what he needed to walk me through. You know, bad theology creeps in really fast. So I'm sitting there and I think, oh man, what did I do wrong? that God just decided to take this away. What can I do? Lord, what do I do to fix it so I can get it back? No, ladies, that is not. And he so quickly comforted me with, no, there's something that that I'm doing. There's a humility that was coming. There was a stripping away of every confidence that I thought I might have because I heard out of both sides of my head, and I don't anymore. But it was started. And he reminded me that in that equation, he stays the same. My hearing changed. A lot of things changed, but he did not. Ladies, our God stays the same. In every situation, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will meet us in each and every one of our challenges. And that was my challenge for sure. And it is still ongoing. I haven't been that far down the road in it. I would do in this room tonight. But I trusted him. I had to, that he would meet me. And he meets each one of us. We trust that he's meeting our sweet Linda Hurd in what she's facing, what he has for her, and that he's caring for. He is the same. And he will care for her. So with that said, when he introduces suffering into the equation, we stay the course. So here's my new thought process. Incoming thought, I can't be deaf in my ear. What if I lose the hearing in my right ear? Fear is a quick companion. And boy, did I have to fight that. So I have a new incoming thought. So I evaluate it. Is it true? No, I can live with a lot of things. I didn't want to, and I didn't think I couldn't imagine it. And the transition was really tough to start with. It wasn't just a month, because what's going on in this ear, I have a tiny bit of hearing, but what I hear is incredibly noisy, and it feels like it weighs about 3 pounds in there. That takes a while for the brain to get used to. And he has been so good to help my brain adjust. But I tell you, we also have a comforter. So that when we're in the middle of our struggles and our suffering and our trials, is our true comforter. My doctor looked across to me and said, "You're going to be okay." That lasted about that long. But the Holy Spirit, as our comforter, continues to remind us that he is always with us. He will never leave us. And he has purpose in our suffering. So incoming thought, evaluate, is it true? And sometimes we evaluate our thoughts and we go, but what if? Evaluating a thought can sometimes lead us to a place that I don't think that I can live with this. I can't cope with this. Or what if this happens? In comes the fear. But what if? Does that change who our God is? So we speak the truth. And this is where our camping out in God's word actually really comes to play. This was a tough moment. Grief was real. But I knew I had a creator that understood his perfect design for me and how he was choosing to change that. He was kind to speak truth. When I'm laying, literally, my shots that are going into this ear, I'm laying on my side on this bed, face down, and he's giving me an injection. So I'm laying on my good ear. If I cover this ear, it's gone. And so he's shooting stuff in my ear, steroids in my ear. And I can't hear anything except somehow I hear the Lord whisper to me a verse. He brings back to mind a verse from my childhood that is, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head." I even read that verse, heard that verse. But you know what? I think I sang it as a kid. Or that. What do you know? You know the song. But I'm laying there and he brings it to mind. How sweet is that? When the fear of what I'm facing, could I lose my other ear? This is what it would sound like if I did nothing. He brings to mind that he's a shield for me. Nothing is going to happen that isn't brought by his hand. And he's my glory. My hearing isn't my glory. He's my glory. And the lifter of my head. Why so downcast, O my soul? I know why I was downcast. Put your hope in God. He's the lifter of my head. And he took that scripture and planted it in my heart. And ladies, that's a sweet place to be when we know that God's word is speaking to us, ministering to us. It instantly puts us in a place of gratitude, doesn't it? I was grateful for the comfort of his word. I was thankful for his word, that I had spent time in it. And then he said, and I told my husband, I don't hear God's audible voice, but can you thank me for your deafness? Wow. That took a little while, but I came to it. Ladies, we can thank him for what comes our way, knowing that this world is not all there is. This tent's breaking down, just passing through, and our home is in eternity. The struggles that we face here, he is with us. And we can come to a place where we actually thank him. And when I came to that moment, it changed everything. It didn't get my hearing back. It didn't do anything spectacular for the noise in my head, but it changed my heart. And all of a sudden, I began to look at what his purposes might be in that. And I'm still in process. When we aren't all capable of doing everything that we think we can or we should, there is a humility that comes. And he has stripped away some things that I thought I was on my own. And that's what suffering does to us. It takes us to a place of leaning solely on him, knowing that without him, we can't do it, and we need him to meet us there. And he does. And we can choose joy in that. There are days where you just have to choose it, right? You can't wait for it to muster up. You just go, I choose joy. And out the door, and my husband says, how you doing, babe? I go, I choose joy. The first words that are going to come out of my mouth are going to be anxious for nothing. I choose joy. And we can, because he is the giver of that joy. He is the giver of every good gift. And when he determines in his sovereignty that he's going to hand us something that may not appear good, we can trust that it is, because it's come from him, because he is good. So when he introduces suffering into the equation, we stay the course, and his loving kindness meets us there. He allows it. Ladies, I've seen Christ at work in us. I've said, I have prayed with you. We have cared for each other beautifully. And the Lord has been so good to give us unity. Look at us. We cannot take that for granted. For that, we can be incredibly grateful. And we want to preserve that. So I encourage to stay in this fellowship, to be open and transparent with each other when you're going through hard things. Pray together. Because one thing that suffering does do is it isolates. And we don't want that. It's an easy place to go when we're hurting. We figure we're just going to get it all fixed, and then we'll get back out there. It's not easy to maybe be what the Lord is doing in our lives when we're in process. But we learn from each other. So there are two books I want to share because I have not just kind of gone through all this all by myself and figured all this out and go, okay, here you go. I have not. I have had two incredible mentors in print that I would highly recommend. And the first one is Suck by Elizabeth Elliot. And the other one is The Scars That Have Shaped Me, How God Meets Us in Suffering by Vanitha Risner. And these women have walked some incredible journeys with their God. And their testimony and encouragement to me in this season, and I think would be to all of us. So I highly recommend these books. What was that? Yeah. Okay, I can. See, it's real. It really is. Push this hair back so I can hear you. And The Scars That Have Shaped Me. So those two books. Okay. Let's wrap this up, shall we? Dessert's coming, right? I'm going to read Philippians 4, 6 through 9 again. So we can go back and we can see the pattern that God has for us in disciplining our mind with a heart of gratitude. Interject suffering, interject a bad mood, interject what inconvenience. It all stays the same. We stay the course with what happens in our mind, but it comes from our heart. And His word is in our heart. So Philippians, let me go there again. Be anxious for nothing. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not quite turned yet. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, who is most praiseworthy, ladies? Our God, most praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. He not only gives us peace, He is our peace. And for that, we can be incredibly grateful, can we not? Let's close our time in prayer. Father, I thank you that you met us. I trust that your word was spoken clearly and that our hearts were encouraged. But Lord, most of all, that you were honored. May our testimony be one that is honoring to you. And Lord, you are most praiseworthy. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the scripture that you bring to mind that causes us to think correctly. We thank you for the comfort that you bring. And Lord, we thank you that the source of our gratitude is you. We thank you that we can be grateful because of the work on the cross, that you paid the ultimate price for us so that we could be in relationship with you and relationship with each other. And the work is done. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. We ask now that as we enjoy our dessert and our fellowship, a sweet time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This sermon has been proudly given in response to Cherishing the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel and subscribe to watch all our sermons online. For more information about Covenant Life Fellowship, visit us on the web at www.clfroseburg.com.